It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. We invite the congregation to please stand and turn and face the back of the sanctuary this morning. We welcome you in the name of Jesus and thank you for joining us today for our celebration of the Reformation service. We're blessed to be together, and we welcome those who are tuned in on the radio to our service this morning as well. We pray that our service will be a blessing to you as we join together in receiving our Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament, and in offering him our prayer and our praise this morning. We'll be worshiping according to the order of service, a divine service setting one, and we begin there in the bulletin on page 2. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now join in singing our processional hymn, hymn 849. We continue now with our Kyrie on page 3 in the bulletin. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning's celebration of the Reformation comes from the book of Revelation in the 14th chapter. We begin in verse 6 of Revelation 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead, with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm for this morning is the 46th psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with our epistle reading from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been made manifested apart from the law. Although the law and prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then, what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand for our Alleluia verse and our reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing the doxology. Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our hymn of the day for this Reformation celebration, hymn 656, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Let's sing. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever heard of an Airbnb? I hope so. I hope you have. It's a vacation rental service where you can rent a home in pretty much any location you can think of. You have to get on a techie new cell phone device, usually. You can do it on a computer, too, although I'm not sure if you can call. I don't know if there's anybody to call on Airbnb, but you get on a device of some kind, and you first have to book the home that you want to stay in, wherever you're going. It's kind of like another option besides a hotel. And you can book a home just by scrolling through the listings in the zip code you want to go to and find that house and look at a bunch of pictures, usually 30 or 40 photos of the house, and then you book the home by clicking here, putting in your credit card, and clicking here. And it's booked. And then you can travel to the home. Either on vacation or maybe for work, you travel to this town. But there's a house. It's there waiting. Although I do suggest when you go, it's kind of weird to show up at one at night because you've never been there before. You don't know much about it. When you get to that home, it's all brand new. You've seen photos and stuff in the booking listing, but then when you actually show up at the address, you're kind of like, ooh, this is different than I thought it was. Hopefully good, not bad. You have to go inside the house. There's usually a key code or something like beep, 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 beep. It opens up. You walk inside the door. But you've never been there. So you have to learn. What's going on in this house, right? Where's the bedroom? Where's the kitchen? Where's the bathroom? Is there a dishwasher? One of the most important ones for me is usually, where's the coffee pot and how does it work? Because every single one of these places has a different coffee pot. But once you kind of learn the house, and you figure out where all the rooms are and kind of understand everything that the house has to offer you, then there's kind of a switch that takes place. And instead of you being the active agent in booking the house and going to the house and learning about the house and figuring it all out, now it switches. Now on your vacation or throughout your work, however long you're going to be in this location, now the house kind of starts taking care of you. It's raining outside. What do? I go inside the house. I need rest. I'm tired after a long day. What do? Well, the house offers me a place to rest, a bed. Lots and lots of things. Now the house sort of cares for you. You become the benefactor of all that that house has to offer. Jesus says this in our gospel reading this morning from John chapter 8. Kind of struck me. He says, "Abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples." Jesus wants us to live, to exist, to abide, to dwell in his word. It was God that took us, brought us to baptism, gave us faith in Christ that we didn't deserve and didn't earn, and placed us within his own family. And metaphorically speaking, I guess, in his home, in his own home, It wasn't our doing, but the house of his word. The truth he places us within. By his gift of faith. Have you ever looked at your Bible and thought about a house? It's kind of a different idea. But Jesus wants us to abide here. That's what he says. Abide in my word. It's our house. And there's just a really amazing thing that happens in the text. If you look at the reading from John's Gospel in chapter 8 this morning, if you look at verse 32, it says this, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Okay, so it starts out in the first portion and says, "You will know the truth." And notice the subject in that part. The subject is you. It's a little dependent clause. You. Then the verb is, will know, and the direct object is the truth, right? You will know the truth. So it kind of ends up like the house, right? You had to get to know your Airbnb vacation house. You had to learn it. It was kind of on you. You will know the truth. But then look at what happens in the second clause of verse 32. First one, you're the subject, there's the verb, the direct object is the truth. Then in the second part it says, the truth, it switches. Just like the home. Now it starts taking care of you, providing what you need. You're the benefactor of the blessings of that home. That's exactly what happens in John chapter 8. You will know the truth, and then it switches and says the truth is now the subject. To set free is now the verb. And the direct object, you. The truth will set you free. It switches. It literally switches. It's amazing. Now the truth is going to affect you and me. The truth is going to set you free. But the question comes to us this morning. I believe God brings it to us that we might consider it from his word. Will you abide here? Will you abide here? Will I abide here where he tells us to abide? You wouldn't go on a vacation, for example, and get an Airbnb house or a VRBO or any of the other options that are out there. Rent the house, book the house, show up to the house, and then spend your entire vacation out on the lawn. It would be totally absurd. I mean, depending on where you were, it might make sense, but it really wouldn't. The house has so much to offer. It would be completely absurd to even go inside the house and sit down right in the entryway in front of the door. So, well, I'm in the house. Sure glad I rented this place. It's pretty good. And never go into the rest of the house. Never go look around. See what's in this room and that room. Another analogy is like a cruise ship, right? Who goes on a cruise ship? I've never got to go on a cruise ship. I hear it's pretty cool. Who goes on one and then just gets on the boat and sits around in their little room in the cruise ship all day? Suppose this is good. I'm safe. Big ship. I'm not really scared of the sea. I'm just going to sit here. The ship has a ton of cool stuff. Why would you not go check it out? I just sit in your room. Yeah, you're safe from the ocean. Yeah, the roof at the house keeps the rain and the weather off of you, protects you. To abide there means to live. to explore, to understand what the house has to offer you. In one way, it's the exact same with our life of faith. God places us within his house. You know, Jesus says in John's gospel in the 14th chapter, before he resurrects, before he ascends into heaven, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, in my Father's house, you might remember, are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not tell you that I go to prepare a place for you. And he did go. And then sent his Holy Spirit to us to usher you and I into the house of his Father. Heaven? Yes. But for now, right here. This is our home. Abide in my word, he says. And you are truly my disciples. And as believers, we live in his word day after day. Week after week, month after month. But how often will we go on into the house and actually look around? How often do we spend time exploring all that our house has to offer us? Or how often do we actually end up living out on the lawn? Not even willing to go in very often. And if we do, it's just for a minute or two. It's not really like living in the Word. His Word has much to offer us. The psalm this morning tells us, Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And did you know that that psalm inspired Martin Luther to write and pen the words of the hymn we just sang? A mighty fortress is our God. Like a home, God's word is a refuge for us as well. From the storms of life, from the worries and fears that beat and batter the windows and the doorways of our hearts. And you know it's true. It's true for me. We often live frightened of what's coming. We're concerned about realities within our world. It's like a roof over our heads that protects us from the troubles and gives us his security as our refuge by his promises. The storms are going to come, but Jesus says himself, my Father is greater than all. He's strong to save. Like Luther says, he's a mighty fortress for us. But will we go in? Will we spend time in our home learning all that it has to offer? Just for a couple minutes, I want to do that with you this morning. It's like we walk in and we see the four walls of this house. You gotta go with me. We walk in the house and these giant four walls of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And those walls support this structure that tell us the truth about what our Lord Jesus did for us, that while we were sinners, he died for us. He went to his cross and gave his own life and became the sacrifice for our sins. It tells us the real account of what took place. How we see the walls. But then we keep going. And here's another room. The book of Romans. That's going to tell us the truth about ourselves. That even though we spend most of our time trying to figure out life, trying to get it right, trying to do everything the right way so that we can feel good about ourselves, the truth is before God, we don't have to earn a thing. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his gift of faith. That it's apart from the law, just like our text said, that we're justified, not by our doings or what we leave undone, but it's Christ. Christ who's come and saved us. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says that we can have peace with God because we're justified by faith, not by what we do and leave undone. Romans is a cool room in our house. Is there more? There is. This place is huge. 1 Corinthians is an awesome room too. 1 Corinthians is going to tell us this, chapter 1. It's going to tell us that God chose the base things of the world, the simple things, to put to shame those who think they're smart, those who think they're wise, is how it puts it. I'll tell you what. Spend some time telling people about how much you appreciate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Tell them. I go to my church and I eat bread and I drink wine. And they'll say, oh yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah, I've heard about that. And then tell them this. It's really Jesus. It's really his body. And it's really his blood. And you know what some people would do when they heard that? They'd say, pfft. And 1 Corinthians is a beautiful spot in the house because it shows us that God uses the base things, the simple things, water, words, bread, wine, to put to shame those who think they're wise, because it truly is his body and his blood, according to his word. God's the one who spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. And when he says, this is my body, this is my blood, you better believe it, because it's true. 1 Corinthians is a nice room. In it, Paul tells us more about the church and how she ought to worship. And he'll go on into 2 Corinthians and he'll say that you are new creations in Christ Jesus. Behold, the old has gone away and the new has come. And that now our lives as believers, not to be lived for self, but to be lived in service to God and to the neighbor. We're new in Christ, made new by him to love, to forgive those who've sinned against us. It's always amazing to me, the living room in the house. It's a big one. It's a big old living room. Hebrews tells us that we ought not forsake the gathering together of those of like faith in this giant living room, where we're encouraged in our faith, where we're reminded that even though we doubted it and even though we weren't sure, we are loved by God and by our brothers and sisters. And we're only up on like the main level. And you're thinking, oh boy, that potluck sounding pretty good right now, Pastor. There's still like down the steps a ways, there's Genesis, there's Exodus, there's Leviticus. This house is huge. When you really look around it, it's more like a fortress, a mighty fortress to protect us from all the things that the world has to throw at us. We heard about what's upstairs in the book of Revelation, that this gospel is eternal. It's not temporary. It's not gonna go away. It's not gonna change. It's always gonna be victorious. It's always going to be here for us. Christ says himself, come to me, those who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest in the home, friends. It's in his very words that he pours out the rest that we need. It's in his very word that he feeds us. It's in his very word that when we get all dirty with sin, we can clean ourselves in his water of life. And the gospel, where he cleanses us from our sin. Where he also cleanses us from the sins that have been done to us. We talked about that a month or so ago. That God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The first part was to forgive our sins. Those are the things that we've done or left undone. But then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that's a cleansing from the sins that people have done to you. And he does both for us. And this beautiful home that he's put us in. He calms our fears and he reminds us that he's in control. This isn't just some old house. It's a fortress. And Luther saw it during his life with the threats on his life for preaching the gospel. But you and I this morning see it too. If we walk back into that Romans room for just 1 second, we'll hear what it says. Where he says, all things work to the good of those who believe. And we say, no way. I can't handle that. This isn't good. What's happened isn't good. God makes it good, friends. He knows how. He's the master of everything, and he's in perfect and complete control. Even though it looks like chaos to us, it's not to him. Live in this fortress. Don't let the devil assault your mind like he does. The Apostle Paul tells us to take every thought in Corinthians and to take every thought into captivity to the word of Christ. This is what Jesus is saying. Abide in my word. And you say, Pastor, we know this text. We've heard it before. We get it. How do we abide in his word? How? We've seen what it is. We walked around the house. Trust me, we could walk around the house for a really long time. There's lots to see. It's really cool. How do we do it? Well, so often we feel this pressure when we hear, oh, the Bible's our home. Will we abide in it? Will we abide in his word? We hear that and we think, oh boy, what do I got to spend? How many hours, Pastor? I got to read and read and read. I got to read this whole chapter. Maybe I'll make the plan where I go through the Bible in a whole year. I've seen that. That's pretty cool. And then it's almost like a New Year's resolution because we start doing it and then early sin life happens. And it doesn't have to be like that. Take our psalm, for instance, real quick. Psalm 46. God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. And let that one verse... Well, read it in the morning. Read it at lunch. Read it at dinner. Read it and let that one verse go with you all day because it will. God is our refuge and our strength. Where do we run? Where do we go when we feel like it's not going to work? To our refuge, to our home, which is Christ himself in the word. One verse all day. Think about it. Dwell on the meaning of that one verse. It's deeper than the ocean. And abide in his word. Because when we show up here, we remember this amazing thing. That those who came before us in the Christian faith, those who also believed in the words of Jesus and didn't scoff them and didn't despise the sacrament, but believed in his words, they're still abiding in his word. Even if they're not on earth anymore. And so they're still with us in Christ and in his blessed scriptures. For this is our home, friends. It is Christ himself. And in it, we're together with his faithful forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time in our service, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we have a glorious celebration today on the reformation of our Lutheran church to also receive new members into our congregation here at Trinity. At this time, I invite the Satherwaite family and the Kirk family, so please come forward to the altar. That's perfect, yeah. Yeah. Friends in Christ, before we begin our rite of reception of new members by profession of faith, I wanted to tell you, you know, the Lord brought this wonderful family here to us, and we are truly blessed by you guys, and we're thankful for you to be here and to be a part of our celebration of Christ as King and Savior. And so we welcome you in the name of the Lord. And we do have a rite of receiving or reception of members by profession of faith, which we'll go through with everyone now. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? If so, say, "Yes, I do."
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church draw from them, and confess in the small catechism to be faithful and true? If so, say, "I do."
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, say, "I do by the grace of God."
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, say, "I do by the grace of God."
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and in the Lutheran Church to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, I do by the grace of God. Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? If so, say, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are now members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Would you turn and face the altar with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your sons and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, enabling them both with heart to believe and with mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit they may continue steadfast in the one true faith and the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you. Amen. You can return to your pew. Thank you. Oh, hey, thank you. That'll help. At this time in our service, we come to the time for the prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you are to us a mighty fortress, a rock of refuge. We pray you sustain your church, deliver her from error, and preserve her in the proclamation of your gospel, that it would be spoken and proclaim to every nation, tribe, people, and language, and that all may fear and give glory to you, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are a rock of refuge, a mighty fortress. We pray you bless all ministers of your word, that you'd help them to preach rightly your law, so that all would be held accountable to you without excuse, and then joyfully proclaim your gospel, that all would know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you are a mighty fortress. You are a rock of refuge. We pray you look with compassion on all who are blind to the bondage of their sin. Lord, open their eyes by the words of Jesus, and grant them true freedom of sonship and daughterhood and a permanent place in your house. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you are a mighty fortress. You are a rock of refuge. Make us truly your disciples. Help us, Lord, each and every day to abide in your word. Free us from errors. Make our homes and families peaceful. Preserve all fathers and mothers. Encourage them for their godly task. The children would be brought up in fear and instruction of the Lord. And Lord, we lift up the young ones to you as well, that you'd be their rock of refuge. As the world shifts and changes like the sand, and life feels confusing and challenging, that you'd be their mighty fortress and their strength, and keep us all in your word. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are a rock of refuge. You are a mighty fortress. We pray you would bless all civil authorities, especially our president, our Congress, and all who make and administer and judge our laws. Protect them from temptations. Lord, keep them close to you, that they might hold their offices with dignity, honesty, and virtue. And grant them wisdom and courage to serve with integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are a mighty fortress, a rock of refuge. We pray you be near to all who cry to you for healing, for help, for health in body and soul. Lord, especially we name before you this morning Raven Hunter, Kevin Rice, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Kieran Jerry, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord God, grant them release from their afflictions according to your will. Sustain their hope in the full and final blessing that awaits them at the day of Christ's appearing. Lord, in your mercy.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.